Hello and welcome to another episode of the Brick House Podcast. I'm your host, Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Bob, been a big week of basketball, as usual.
Oh, this is the best time of year for basketball, don't you think, Matt?
Bob, I do think. Yeah, no, it's great. March Madness is one of my favorite things every year. And the NBA, these Saturday games.
Prime time.
It's been way better than I think anyone could have imagined.
Must-see TV.
You would think that a primetime game on a Saturday wouldn't be as big of a draw, because people, I'm told, people like to go out on weekends.
They get the fever.
Yeah. They get the fever. And last night, what, the final score was like 40 to 30 or something ridiculously low. But still, the draw of seeing the Spurs clamp down on the Warriors, is just as interesting. Every game has been great.
You know who else was really in the news this week? Our favorite team to brick house about, the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, man.
And DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
We love brick housing about them.
It's a verb now.
It is.
It's like Google brick house. That's it. DeMarcus Cousins was suspended a game by the Kings for publicly yelling at George Karl on the bench during the Cavs-Kings game earlier in the week. He served a suspension and came back to the team saying that it wasn't the Kings or management or Vlade Divac or Vivek Ranadive that was responsible for him being suspended again.
Or Vivek's army of fifth grade girls, fifth grade basketball playing girls.
No, he said there's only one man to blame for that.
Well, who is it, Bob? Who's the only one you left out?
Old George Karl himself.
Oh, yeah.
Coach Karl. He later tweeted, and, you know, normally I don't really know what the titles of these podcasts are going to be, Matt, until I listen back to them or, you know, kind of reflect on what we focused on.
Sure.
But this week I think is different. I think the title of the podcast this week is going to be this tweet from DeMarcus Cousins that he tweeted later about George. Well, we don't know what about. It was pretty cryptic.
Yeah.
Here it is. One thing about them tables. They always turn.
Oh, man. It's poetry, really.
Yeah. If you had to guess, how do you think these Sacramento Kings could possibly get more dysfunctional from here?
I don't know. They would have to... Well, they missed their chance with Michael Beasley. That would have been...
Yeah.
who's not playing bad, by the way.
Oh, no. No. He's got a couple of games with 17, 18 points so far for the Rockets.
Maybe he's turned it around, Bob. Say that holding back my laughter. How can the Kings get more dysfunctional? They should hire, if they want to fire George Karl, the best thing to do would be bring in Larry Brown. I think that would help the dysfunction. I think Larry Brown would be amazing, an amazing coach of that team.
And Rick Pitino.
Sure. Just yeah.
I ask because next year they're moving to their new arena, right? And it's probably the time that they should cash in their chips for Boogie Cousins, because everything from this season and every season so far with the Kings and Boogie leads me to suspect that in 2 years when he's a free agent, I would predict he signs with 29 other teams before he re-signs with the Sacramento Kings.
I would not bet against that.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast, and he has a lot of executives, upper management on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they have illuminated some things that I don't really think about. Like, you know, when there's players that obviously, like at this point, right, Boogie's got 2 years left on his contract, which means that right now would be the most valuable time for them to trade him, as opposed to 1 year on the contract,
right,
or less than a year, you know, waiting until the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah, they'd get a ton. They'd get a ton for him right now.
Right. So, but these managers say, well, when you see a team that has a move that looks so obvious and they don't do it, you got to think about all the other things that are going into that decision. So this is how I think the Kings could get more dysfunctional, because the timing is just so that it could really fuck them.
Yeah.
Because they're moving to this new arena, right? And so that would be the time, right, to dump George Karl, trade Boogie Cousins, maybe trade him for Ben Simmons or somebody like that.
The new arena is always a good excuse to rebrand the team.
Yeah, but the fear for Sacramento owners is if you get rid of your only franchise player right when you're trying to sell season tickets
right.
in a brand new arena that you have to, you know, pay for, or at least pay back whatever 5% you actually put in of your own money.
Yeah.
That's where I think that it could be a problem, and we could see them just really drag their franchise through the mud and watch Boogie walk away with nothing in return for them.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. If they, I thought, and I don't know, did we ever figure out how legitimate of the rumor that Clarkson, Russell, and Randall for Cousins deal was? Remember that? Because it was being talked about. And honestly, I thought the Kings, I think that's almost about as good as the Kings could do. I thought they should have did that.
Well, that's another thing that these executives talk about is when media members ask them, so is this player going to get traded? Or even the player themselves ask their manager, am I going to be traded? The agent asks, are this guy going to be traded? All the executives said, well, we have hundreds of phone calls.
Yeah.
But trades rarely happen.
Yeah.
You know, so to answer your question of how real that offer was, I mean, the Kings are definitely going to start taking offers, and their asking price should be, at least to start, extremely high.
Oh, it should be. Yeah, it should be really high.
Who's going to pay this? It remains to be seen. I think that if you're an NBA manager, the Knicks trade with the Nuggets for Carmelo Anthony has to be, you know, the biggest cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see this opportunity to get the star player, but if you have to trade away your whole team or your future to get them, then, you know, you're really not adding any net value. You know, I think the teams that are going to have the best chance to land Cousins are probably going to be at the bottom of the, or at the top of the draft this year.
Yeah.
You know, the Celtics have been acquiring assets for just an opportunity like this. It's similar to the James Harden trade, where it's only once in a while is the timing just right that you can get a star player for assets. I mean, they're not trying to get away from their teams every day, unless you're Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, I know you're not you don't follow the Game of Thrones, but I got to think that Arya Stark, she's one of the stars of the show, and she's like plotting her revenge against a long list of people.
Arya Stark?
Yeah, every night before she goes to bed, she learned this from the Hound, I think, as another character.
Sure.
Every night before she goes to bed,
she could be saying anything right now.
she mutters to herself a list of names that she one day, you know, promises herself that she's going to kill them, right? I think this season, after Boogie Cousins' tweet, right after that list of names, one thing about them tables. That's what Arya Stark's going to say. Yeah. Starts in April, guys. You know, lizards once ruled the earth, Matt.
Sure. Go. Okay.
One thing about them prehistoric tables.
I can't. If we're going to get more of these this podcast, I can't wait.
Blockbuster Video used to charge exorbitant late fees, Matt.
What happened?
One thing about them tables. Dwight Howard used to have a different agent. He fired his agent a couple weeks ago. If you listen to episode 46, you know all about it. You also know that I was calling Dan Feegan Dan Feegan. I said the name Dan Feegan about 100 times. I think it's Dan Fagan.
Fagan. Yeah.
Sorry, Dan Feegan.
You know one thing about them tables, Bob. One thing about them name tables. But you're Bob Johnson, so I don't know if people are going to be mispronouncing that.
Not often. So Dwight's new agent, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Perry Rodgers.
Oh, man. Sounds like I know nothing about Perry Rodgers. I'm going to look him up. It sounds like a good old boy from the South.
Perry Rodgers has currently, before Dwight Howard, one current NBA player that he represents.
Is this the same Perry Rogers, that's Andre Agassi's oldest friend and longtime business partner.
Exactly.
Okay.
his biggest client actually is Shaquille O'Neal, TNT broadcaster.
Wow, that would be biggest in every sense of the word.
Yeah, he does all of his marketing for him. And this is the strange story about how Dwight Howard found his new agent. Of all people to seek out for advice,
yeah,
Dwight Howard turned to his biggest detractor, Shaquille O'Neal.
No way. Wait, I didn't even put that together when you were just telling me that he was represented by Shaq.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
The current player that Perry Rogers represents is Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
But Shaq is one of his biggest clients. He has a very small list of clients. In fact, I saw a quote from Perry Rogers' website that made me think, I can see why Dwight Howard went with this guy. Here's the quote. Because of our intimate size, when you sign with us, you receive the dedicated attention you deserve.
There it is.
Because we all know Dwight Howard, he doesn't really want to win championships.
He just wants one thing.
He doesn't necessarily need the biggest contract. Yeah. We saw him leave L.A. He wants all the attention.
Yeah, he just wants someone to care about Dwight. So what did he say? What did he say with Shaq? What did they talk about?
Well, first, let's go back to 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Just 2 weeks ago.
I'll try to remember that far back.
Shaq tweeted a photoshopped picture of himself dunking on Dwight Howard.
I did not see this.
Not only is he dunking on him, but he's essentially teabagging Dwight Howard in the face.
Okay.
Shaq is always dogging Dwight Howard. Shaq takes any opportunity he can to say that Dwight Howard's not a big man, not demanding the ball, whatever it is.
Superman.
And Dwight, we know, is not only concerned with getting attention, but he's trying to fix his brand, fix his image, right?
And he's doing a great job of it.
Oh, exactly. That's why I have a list of things where it's just like how Dwight Howard is making a very Dwight Howard-like decision here in his agent.
Yeah.
Did he really think that maybe the way to start repairing his image is to get Shaq off of his back? And what better way to do that than to sign with his agent? It is rumored that part of the way Shaq talked Dwight into this is that he would say, end this battle about who gets to be called Superman. And that they could do advertisements, commercials together where they're both Superman.
Wow.
First of all, Superman is like a stupid character, sort of like Dwight Howard likes snakes rather than dogs. You know, it's just like there's a lot of superheroes to choose from. Superman, probably one of the least cool.
He's one of the ones that they've had the toughest time making movies for over the past decade and a half. Why hasn't anyone approached them about doing dueling Superman commercials? That's brilliant.
Yeah, but okay, you're making a decision about the last of your most viable years as an NBA player.
Yeah.
Just 4 or 5 years ago, Dwight was second to LeBron and best players in the league.
Oh, man, right.
He's not even made the All-Star team in the past 2 years. And his decision about his future is based on Superman commercials with Shaquille O'Neal. And he's going and signing with an agent that has one current NBA client after leaving one of the most successful agents in history, who we taught you in episode 46, got amazing contracts for the likes of Eric Dampier, Troy Murphy, Jason Richardson, you know.
One thing about them tables, Bob. But he is Andre Agassi's agent and longtime business partner and close friend.
Yeah. Maybe Dwight will write a book, a tell-all, like 20 years after he retires.
Yeah, about how he's wearing a wig because he was doing meth and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll get back to Dwight, I'm sure, but there's a new segment that we just have to add to this week's episode. It's called Reasons I Love Matt Barnes.
Matt Baker. You told me about this. You told me about this segment before we started. I'm excited.
Matt Barnes made his way up in the D-League before catching on with the We Believe 2007 Warriors team.
Oh, man.
One thing about them tables.
Yeah.
So this week, the Memphis Grizzlies played the Milwaukee Bucks on a road trip. With 5 seconds to go in the game, Matt Barnes went up for a layup, put-back layup. And out of nowhere, from the blind side, comes John Henson flying in to swat this ball out of bounds. After which, he goes on to mean mug Matt Barnes with the funniest "who farted," you know, the dad from Friday sort of sour beer face.
Yeah.
And I saw this highlight and didn't realize until later that this block actually came with 5 seconds left to go in the game that was already decided, and John Henson got thrown out for essentially taunting Matt Barnes with this stank face, right?
I'm looking at it now. It's also a good view of the upper deck of this game, completely empty.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
They've already gone home. So John Henson gets thrown out of the game and then proceeds to act like a WWF star. He rips off his jersey. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, taunting to the crowd. The crowd's cheering his name. He throws his jersey into the stands. Quietly, Matt Barnes is also ejected from the game. Mm-hmm. I assumed it was because he was just involved in the situation, and he's Matt Barnes.
The ref looked and was like, "Who's involved? Oh, you're
get out of here." So, anyways, Matt Barnes, instead of, you know, mean mugging and playing to the crowd, he just calmly starts jogging to the locker room.
Uh-huh.
And then he jogs right past the Grizzlies visiting locker room and goes directly to the Milwaukee Bucks locker room.
Whoa.
And I just thought, of all the theatrics that John Henson just went through to show how tough he was, all Matt Barnes had to do was just briskly jog, and he came across as three times harder.
Yeah, yeah.
He was suspended a game for this, mm-hmm. Which will be a $32,000 he'll lose with this one-game suspension.
Some people just can't help themselves.
Including the Derek Fisher and other fines Matt Barnes has had this year, it's over $100,000 in fines for him this year.
Man, oh man.
Reasons I love Matt Barnes. I don't have a Brick House Gabe show for you today. Yeah. I only have one question. How old is Kendrick Perkins?
Kendrick Perkins is, I don't know if he's 31 yet. He's 30 at least. I think he'll be 31 this year.
Wow. I'm surprised you knew that. I thought he was 75 years old. When I learned that he's 31, I was absolutely shocked.
It,
Matt knows so much about basketball.
Well, that just, I remember, because he was on that Celtics team that won it all. He's just been around forever.
Yeah, he was drafted out of high school. He actually was the same graduating class as me in high school.
Yeah.
And he's from Beaumont.
And which Dwight Howard, actually, too.
Is that right?
He might have, I think.
Yeah.
He's from Beaumont.
Beaumont, Texas,
oh, wow.
Which is right on the border of Louisiana, not far from where I went to school in Houston.
Do you remember him in high school?
We never saw him in high school. I saw Rashard Lewis and TJ Ford and a couple other players from the Houston area, but I never saw Perkins personally. Jamal Crawford says he can play 5 more years in the NBA.
Wow.
In fact, the quote on Hoops Hype said, it's probably the 5th consecutive year in a row that Jamal Crawford said he could play 5 more years in the NBA. He's my wife's favorite LA Clipper, and the Clippers' entire offense when the starters are on the bench.
Yeah, he is.
Some reasons for his longevity, Matt. He has never smoked. He doesn't drink. He sipped alcohol once in his life on his wedding day.
Yeah.
And as a result, he's one of two players from the 2000 NBA draft still in the NBA.
One of two players?
One of two players.
From the 2000 draft.
From the 2000 draft.
Which
was...
Mike Miller?
Famously... Oh, yeah, it must be Mike Miller. Yeah, that was the one where Kenyon Martin went first. One of the historically worst drafts ever.
I know I'm going to hate saying this, but is Mike Miller still... Is he playing?
As long as LeBron James is in the league.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Mike Miller. Either that or Etan Thomas and Mateen Cleaves are still around.
I don't even know if they're still alive.
Desmond Mason and Quentin Richardson or Jamal McGlure or Speedy Claxton.
I did read an article Crawford wrote about how he was pretty devastated that the Seattle Sonics picked Desmond Mason over him. He always wanted to play in Seattle, where he's from. He's averaging 15.5 points since Blake Griffin's injury, where the Clippers have gone 26-11.
Yeah.
Just wanted to highlight Jamal. You know, my favorite thing to do at the Clippers game, it's from a Short Corner podcast with Justin Halpern. He's a Clippers season ticket holder, and he had this segment in their podcast when it was on. That was things the Armenian guy behind him would yell during the Clippers game. And it, one of his favorite things was, "Come on, Jamal! Come on, Jamal!" Say that throughout the game. So me and my wife were always saying that at Clippers games.
That's really fun.
And the thing I would always say about Blake Griffin was, "Never be Malone. Never be Malone."
Yo mama is so fat.
I have a diss of the week. You want to do a little diss of the week?
Please, please.
Actually, I have two disses of the week.
Oh, that's awesome. I think I have one as well.
Last night, huge Gonzaga win against Utah.
Yep.
Super pumped up. It was huge. But at, before the game, Barkley picked Gonzaga. Uh-huh. To win, and at halftime, they were going back and forth. This March Madness is the NBA on TNT minus Shaq with Clark Kellogg,
right?
And it's great. Clark Kellogg's great.
Clark Kellogg's the only one who's watched college basketball all season.
Yeah, it may be the best show on TV. All those guys talking. So Barkley was. They were asking Barkley what Zags were up 15, and Ernie said, "You know, you pick Gonzaga to win, but I'm sure you didn't even think it would look like this at halftime." And Barkley said no. He said it's all about matchups. And they were talking about how about the different matchups. And Barkley said one of the things he used to hate when he was playing was quick guys. He said if another player used to try and body him up in strength, Barkley would love that because he said he could push and shove with anybody. And Ernie Johnson said, "I didn't know Popeye Jones was that quick. He used to give you fits." And Barkley said, "I hate that guy to this day." And then a few seconds later, they started showing Virginia versus Butler highlights.
Uh-huh.
And they showed a picture of the pregame because Reggie Miller was on that broadcast, and it was Reggie standing in between the two mascots of the teams. And Barkley said, "Man, that mascot has some big old ears." So
see, Barkley can comment on the college game as long as he sticks to what he knows.
Yeah, so those were, I thought, a good slam on Barkley, and then Barkley had a good slam himself.
Man, the diss of the week I found was actually from the comments section of a Deadspin article titled, "Someone Please Save Kristaps Porzingis from Kurt Rambis." It came from Old Beige Guy.
Yeah.
Who left the comment, "Matt Barnes will probably be available for the Knicks head coaching gig next year, but he absolutely hates players who grab rebounds."
Brilliant.
Oh, there was
brilliant comment section.
I also saw, speaking of Kurt Rambis, a Hoops Hype article titled, "Kurt Rambis is High on Rajon Rondo." And I wonder, do you think that's a party drug or like a strain of marijuana that Kurt Rambis is really into?
Yeah. He actually doesn't. He's never seen Rajon Rondo play in his life.
They don't drug test NBA coaches. Yeah. Not for Rajon Rondo, anyways.
I really want to get into these, our thoughts on all NBA teams.
Oh, all NBA teams? Awesome. Can I first tell you one thing?
Sure.
Borders Bookstore. The thing about them tables. The reason we wanted to talk about the all NBA teams is, well, there's 24 million reasons for Anthony Davis to want to make one of these all NBA teams.
Yeah.
Last year, he signed a max extension, $145 million, 5-year contract that was all based on the assumption, based on last year, where he made the first team All-NBA, voted an all-star starter, probably even got some MVP votes. So it was all assumed that he would definitely either be voted in, become an all-star starter, be voted into the all-NBA team, or win MVP, which is what you have to do to qualify for the Rose Rule to get this 30% of the salary cap as opposed to 25. So $24 million hangs in the balance, the difference of $145 or $121 million contract.
Then a few months later, the Pelicans became the most disappointing team in the NBA. So that kind of took the MVP award off the board. He had a little injuries here and there.
Well, the thing is, he's banged up now, and they're considering shutting him down for the rest of the season.
Right.
Which there's only 16 games left. But, again, a lot of money on the line here.
Yeah, that's really tough. I would be fighting tooth and nail if I were Anthony Davis to stay in.
So we are deciding.
I think he's out of the game today.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, versus the Clippers? Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the second night of a back-to-back for the Clippers. They played last night, and now they have to play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon versus the Pelicans. So
do the Lakers have a night game? Is it one of those? They usually play at noon when that happens.
They were on the road yesterday in Memphis. So they went from Memphis to New Orleans and had to play less than 20, you know, like 18 hours later. That's a scheduled loss, but if Davis isn't playing, maybe they'll have a chance. So anyways, Matt and I are deciding the fate of Anthony Davis's bank account here today.
Yeah, it's all on us here.
We voted for our all-NBA first, second, and third teams, and we'll see if Anthony Davis makes the cut, and who else are the best 15 players in the league this season.
I tried to stick to the guard, forward, center thing, and then you told me that there past few years, as we looked, there's been, they kind of take liberties with who can go on what.
Right.
But let's talk it out here. So are we in agreement that Westbrook and Curry are first team guards?
Steph Curry made my all NBA first team. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And Westbrook. Correct.
Yeah. I think the center, Cousins is a center of the first team.
I picked that as well, yeah. Although I wouldn't be surprised if he were not voted to the All-NBA first team simply because of his attitude.
Sure.
And the Kings' and the shitty Kings. Record.
Right. Okay, so the forwards, basically, I think for me, the forwards, my top four forwards are LeBron, Durant, Draymond, and Kawhi.
Okay.
I don't know where I would put them.
You got to draw that line.
Yeah. Because I think it feels like LeBron will be on the first team just because.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just saying, like, I say just because, meaning that it would take a lot to not have LeBron on the first team in general.
Right. I would pick the Cavaliers to win the finals if LeBron James doesn't make the first team All-NBA.
Right. Right.
You think Damian Lillard's pissed off.
By the way, LeBron's only averaging 35.6 minutes a game this year.
Good. He's only played in 6 consecutive finals.
Yeah. That's the lowest. That's the lowest ever in his career.
Wow. Is it Kawhi or Durant or Draymond?
I put Durant because I'm just looking at it from a voter standpoint.
That's your vote, or that's prediction of who's going to win
the vote? If I had a vote, I would put Draymond and Kawhi over both of them.
Really? Well, this is your vote.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. I put Kawhi, LeBron in my top two.
Yeah.
For the forwards for the first team. Draymond's had an excellent season. Durant was the hardest guy to leave off the first team for me. But Kawhi, I feel like, really earns it with his defensive play and his ability to shut down Kevin Durant or LeBron or Draymond, anyone he chooses.
Right.
Even Steph Curry, as we saw last night. Second team, I'll lead this one off.
Yeah.
My guards, I put Chris Paul and Damian Lillard.
Okay.
I debated about putting Chris Paul ahead of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Westbrook, just statistically this year, is unbelievable. He's had 11 triple-doubles in the past 30 games. But Chris Paul leading the team without Blake Griffin this year has been truly impressive. Not to mention Damian Lillard leading the team without the four of the other 5 starters from last year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's definitely the biggest eating crow of our NBA predictions this year was, you know, we had the Portland Trail Blazers towards the bottom of the league. I think everybody,
a lot of people did,
had them. No way returning to the playoffs.
Well, when you lose Robin Lopez, Bob, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, mascots just start running havoc on your team without that enforcer. But the forwards, as you might have guessed from my first team, Kevin Durant and Draymond Green.
Right.
Now, this is where you might think that Anthony Davis could get bumped because Draymond and Kevin Durant. Durant wasn't voted into any All-NBA team last year because he missed most of the season with injury. And Draymond's had the meteoric rise. But since last year's second team center was Pau Gasol, I'm giving Anthony Davis the second team center position here. And we'll get into who he's beating out when we get to the third team and our honorable mentions. But let me just give you Anthony Davis's stats this year. You know, supposedly slightly down from last year, but down from second or third in MVP voting, you know, 21-year-old who everyone anointed as the future of the league last year. This year he's got averaging 24.3 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1.3 steals, shooting 52% and 78% from the line. He's still a dominant dude.
Yeah, you would think that he now averages 15 points.
I mean, that would be like not voting LeBron to the first team All-NBA because he's not as good as LeBron from a year or two ago. You know, it's just silly to compare.
Circumstances change. And
yeah. Who do you have on your second team, Matt?
For guards, I had Harden and Lillard because Harden's just a stat monster.
Yeah.
And a stat monster in makes and misses and points. And
I bumped Harden because I have Chris Paul, who's playing without the second best player on the team and winning, versus Harden, who's playing with the same team from last year and dramatically underperforming. I know it's an individual award.
That's fair. It's the same ones you had for the forwards. I forget what my forwards order is now.
But the other two?
Yeah. And for center, I had Drummond.
Drummond. Mm-hmm. Third team, I have
a lot of names here on third team. Just kind of
bubble guys.
Yeah,
it was hard to choose. It was hard to choose the guards, but I chose skinny Kyle Lowry and James Harden for this one.
Right.
James Harden begrudgingly over DeMar DeRozan and Klay Thompson in that order for me. Paul George made my third team forward.
Yeah.
As well as LaMarcus Aldridge. His stats this year: 17.9 points a game, 8.5 rebounds, 1.1 block. He's the best shooting free throw shooter of any of the bigs that I had as a candidate for this. He's shooting 86% from the free throw line.
It's huge. That's huge come playoff time, too.
Yeah. And my third team center, I chose Drummond.
Yeah.
So similar players.
Yeah, I went with Chris Paul and Lowry. Mm-hmm. For third team, the names I have also were DeRozan and Isaiah Thomas. Actually,
oh really? Yeah,
yeah.
He is having a great season.
Klay would have been up there, but those are the two, and then Paul George and Anthony Davis third team, and
so he makes the $24 million.
He makes the 24 votes.
Too.
I save him the $24 million.
That's nice. did Aldridge not make any of your teams?
Well, yeah, the third team was. For center, I had Pau, but also, or DeAndre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pau's number is 17 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, half a steal, 81% from the line. DeAndre, 14 points, 12.7 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, 0.7 steals, shooting 70% from field goal range, but only 44% from the free throw. I was watching a Clippers game the other day, and Jordan made like a hook shot that was outside of the restricted area.
Yeah.
And the announcer said that was the 8th basket of the year that he's made outside of the restricted area.
Whoa.
So he's shooting 70% from the field, but they're almost all alley-oop dunks.
Well, I think I brought this up on DeAndre Jordan before. His only year at Texas A&M, I think he went his first 2, 3, 4 games like that without missing a shot.
Wow.
But that's because he was just dunking it the entire time.
Some of the other guys I thought, you know, might get some votes. A lot of them won't for character issues. Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. He was one I thought about.
Dwight Howard, also his stats are down for his career, but but up there comparable with some of the other guys on this list. Yeah. Rudy Gobert is down and hasn't played as many games this year. But who made the list and who's definitely going to be one of these all-NBA players, if not next year, then real soon? Karl Anthony Towns.
He's
definitely Rookie of the Year.
Towns actually was one I had thought about, but I didn't for that very reason.
Rookie year, Matt, 18 points a game, 10 rebounds, 1.7 blocks, 55% from field goal, 82% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
He is awesome and is only going to get better. Here's something, a fun thought experiment for you. Let's say Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins' stats and the seasons they're having, they're switched, right?
Okay.
The whole situation is switched. Right now, I think DeMarcus Cousins deserves to be first-team All-NBA. But because of his character issues, he might not be. Now, if that were Anthony Davis having that season in Sacramento, absolutely would be first-team All-NBA because the coaches love him. He's not an asshole. My other point is if this were DeMarcus Cousins and $24 million were at stake for him and it was all up to the coaches and managers to vote on whether or not he makes one of these teams and he last year was, you know, MVP considered and now is having a quote disappointing season,
Yeah. I
would bet the coaches would not give it to him. But I think Anthony Davis is going to get it because of the kind of kid he is.
That would be instant death for if DeMarcus didn't get that,
right?
The whole NBA would feel his wrath.
You know, anyone that the media is going to interview who has a vote about this is going to say that they're not taking $24 million into consideration,
right,
at all,
right,
but only voting on basketball players. And we all know that that is not true.
That is not.
They know $24 million
is at stake yeah,
for the future of the NBA.
Oof.
Or at least one of the pillars of the future.
Right.
Find that fascinating. You know, it's the time of year where we can't have a podcast without mentioning LeBron James.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
I'm going to do it in a weird, circuitous way here this time.
Sure.
Henry Abbott wrote an article about Steph Curry, and it's titled, Steph Curry is not only the MVP, he is revolutionizing basketball. And he wrote it for ESPN. Two things in this article stood out to me, Matt. His point about how Steph is revolutionizing basketball is that all basketball players are changing to imitate him. Here's a stat that proves his point. 11 years ago, there was not a single high school player in the country to average 4 made three-pointers per game. That's a lot of three-pointers. In high school, right?
Wow.
This past year, there were 30 high school players to average 4 points.
That's crazy.
Kids love Steph Curry, and the article basically talks about how not everyone can dunk and imitate, you know, the dunkers and the super athletes of the league, but everyone can pull up from 30 feet and practice that and pretend they're Steph Curry.
Right.
What does this have to do with LeBron James, you might ask?
I don't know.
Here's the tie-in. LeBron James' 8-year-old son, Bryce, despite the fact that Steph Curry's Warriors broke his father's heart and didn't allow him to deliver a championship to Cleveland last year.
He might do it again.
LeBron's son wears number 30 in honor of Steph Curry.
Killer. Killer.
I considered it for the diss of the week, but
that's the diss
it's been going on for a while.
That's the diss of the fatherhood, the diss of the year. Oof.
Matt, with March Madness going on, and also by popular demand, I want to bring back the personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
And I was really curious to ask you about this because I know you like pro basketball, but you're also crazy about college basketball as well. So if you had to pick your favorite best, happiest basketball memory from all of Matt Baker's life.
Wow.
College, pro, as a player or a spectator.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Oh, man, it's crazy. I was trying to think about that on the way over. A lot of thoughts. But a few that came to mind, I'll give one from each that kind of come to mind from college and pro.
Okay.
The college is James Harden's freshman year, Arizona State. Mm-hmm. Was that 2007?
Were you still there?
No, no, I graduated.
Just graduated.
ASU hadn't beaten University of Arizona in like 6 years, something mm-hmm. like that. They had won 12 straight. I had went to the game in 2001 or so when they beat U of A, and then they just hadn't beat them for 6 years. And Harden, his freshman year, came in with a bang. And the game that night, there were still tickets available for some reason. So I bought two for me and my brother Chris, mm-hmm. and we went, and it was ASU won in overtime. It was such a great game, so fun, and the place was going crazy, and everyone stormed the court, obviously. That's just a college memory I really like, because they finally had gotten this huge U of A monkey off their back.
Yeah.
And they actually, that was the first of five straight. Harden didn't lose to U of A. Harden in his 2 years beat Arizona five straight times.
That's awesome.
Which is cool. And then as far as NBA, and this is not necessarily a moment, but I was just thinking those 7 seconds or less Suns, obviously the success was cool, but the fun thing about those teams was their games were appointment viewing. Like you didn't,
right.
We didn't miss watching games. My friends and I, or even my family, we watched every single game for
this Warriors team is the only team that I've been that excited about since the Suns.
So if a game, and you know, cuz Arizona doesn't recognize daylight savings time, cuz you know, we're not fools.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing about Arizona.
Yeah. We're not idiots. We know it's just a big government scam. So there would be some games where the Suns would start at 8:30. It didn't matter.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you just stay up late. You would come home early. You would watch, you would go hang out at friends' house specifically just to watch those games.
Yeah.
As opposed to other times when you would be hanging out and there just happened to be a Suns game on. It was unlike any other thing. And it obviously they didn't win, but those are some basketball memories that are really stick out in my mind.
Those are great.
Thanks, Bob.
On the next episode of Brick House.
You know, on our next episode, Matt, it's going to be our 50th episode.
Ooh.
I'm going to have to tell our listeners, though, that they're going to have to wait 2 weeks.
Only
2 weeks until our next one. But then we're coming out with the big 50. And we're going to give you, over the next 2 weeks, I imagine the media will give us 50 reasons why the Warriors won't win 72 games. And 50 reasons why they will.
Yeah.
We'll learn 50 nicknames DeMarcus Cousins has for George Karl. Probably all involve cuss words of some kind.
Probably just one cuss word.
50 things Matt Barnes plans on running over with his truck after he retires.
And that's just on Thursday.
Yeah, I think Matt Barnes could be the star of second season of Making a Murderer. I would watch it. Derek Fisher is enjoying a nice vacation with Matt Barnes' ex-wife right now. But let's not forget what Boogie Cousins has taught us this episode, Matt. Yeah. What is it?
It's those tables.
The thing about the tables, Matt. I want to wish at Nikki Smooth a congratulations on his wedding.
Oh, congratulations.
He actually tweeted us from Mumbai, India a couple days ago, Matt. The first ever international Brick House tweet. If you're listening to this outside of Los Angeles or Phoenix or Houston, you could tweet us from those cities, but tweet us from where you are too, at Brick House Pod.
I was going to talk to you. You mentioned India. We did get an email from a Indian prince who needed something about his funds or frozen.
We could get $24 million.
Yeah, we can talk. We can talk about that later. That seems like a business thing we shouldn't bring up on the podcast.
Just have to vote Anthony Davis to the All NBA team and send your bank account information.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll talk to you in 2 weeks, Matt. I'm gonna go get high on Rajon Rondo now.
Oh, man.